And welcome to the Everyday Board Game Podcast with Daniel.
And Daniel.
See, I did do the creepy voice this time, Daniel. Aren't you happy?
Yeah, very much so. Now we're not scaring away the children.
Like, children listen to our podcast. It's such a niche podcast. Like, I mean, it's not like we're not family friendly. I don't think we've used bad language or we don't talk
every
about...
Every now and then, I say we're more PG-13.
Yeah.
It's not like we're rated R or anything.
No. But even then, like what 8-year-old do you think is seeking out our long board game debate podcasts? You know, some might.
Absolutely might. None.
I don't personally know any, right?
I mean, your 10-year-old son basically just ignores us.
He's 11, and yes.
11 now, that's right, yeah.
He still ignores us. We want to give a couple quick shout-outs real quick. We have some new followers on Twitch. This is one of our bigger jumps in a while. Motley Hobbies, Soul 2602, Lettuce Rock, and Board Game Strategy all followed us this past week. So we want to give you guys a shout-out. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. With that being said, though, we are broadcasting live on Twitch right now, and we're going to be uploading this to YouTube pretty soon. We hope you guys have been enjoying the episodes. I think, isn't there supposed to be like an episode on Thursday or something coming out?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I thought we would try something different.
Or if you're hearing this in the past, there might have been one on Thursday. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. So if you're watching the replay, look for that episode. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Anyway.
So just remember, we record a week ahead, so we're not sure what's going on. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So anyway, no, this has been an interesting week. I got, I was able to get a much needed trip in. You know, we really went out of our way to make sure we went extra safe. We had, our state is mostly opening up, you know, for safety reasons. And, we've just been having a good old time this past like few days.
You have. Unfortunately, I've been home.
You've been home. Well, I would have taken you with. You know this. Except there wouldn't have been room in the car with all the games I bought. Like, honestly. So I have 3 rows in our car, right? And so we had 2 people in front, 2 people in the middle, one seat in back, and then the other seat that was folded down. That's where we'd keep all of our luggage, right?
Yeah.
I had so much stuff that we've acquired throughout that week, throughout the time off, that both of my kids and my wife had to sit in the middle row, and we had to put the seat down just to make room. And I'm not going to say it was all board games. It was only like 3 bags of board games, so it's not too bad.
Only 3 bags of board games?
Only 3 bags of board games. Now, granted, so I bought Imperial by Level 99 Games, and that's comparable to like Gloomhaven even, you know?
It's I don't know. I mean, it's a little taller and a little less coffin-y.
Right, exactly. No, it's a little taller. It's a cube, but it's certainly a lot lighter. Like, there's a lot of other games that are lighter than that.
And so Very Wrong About Games says, this is why he never drives people to conventions. They take up game space. And he's not wrong.
valuable game space. I mean, I'll tell you another little side story that we always enjoy. A mutual friend of ours was going to go to Arizona because he had to take care of some stuff. And he offered to bring some of our games to trade into a local bookstore there that we like going to. And I remember he asked you, he was like, well, and you said you only had like a couple games or something, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing crazy. And then he asked another friend of ours and he was like, nah, I only have like a couple games. And then he asked me, he was like, do you want me to take any of yours? I'm like, I have about 10 bags of games, so I'm not going to make you suffer.
especially to where he was going in Arizona is not really the good trade-in spot.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so it was just like, I would have felt bad enough, but, you know, I thought we would figure that out.
Now, I'm one step away from being completely vaccinated. I need one more shot. I'm supposed to be getting something here soon to set it up. So we'll see. And then 2 weeks after that, I should be fine.
Yeah, exactly. And just about, and luckily my wife got her first vaccine shot too.
Nice.
On the day we left for that trip. Like, we actually pushed back our departure time about an hour just to make sure she'd be good. And yeah, it was absolutely worth it. Yeah,
the first one isn't that bad. I was a little sore, got a little feverish, but the second one I hear is the one that knocks you out.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. So we'll see. Hopefully I'll get the single vaccine, but I'll take any one I can get. Doesn't matter either way. Well, So Very Wrong About Games, thanks for tuning in. This is going to be fun. Let's start about our topic. Daniel, what did we ask our audience this week?
Well, because with the Gamma Trade Show being online this year, that's usually when a lot of game announcements happen. So we decided, you know, let's wait and push our most anticipated games of 2021 until right around then. This way we can cover like the back end of the year instead of the front end when everybody's bogging down with that sort of stuff. Also, it's a great way to start our second year as a podcast platform. So our topic today is, what is our most anticipated games of 2021?
Yeah, exactly. So when you and I eagerly and excitedly looked into the Gamma Trade Show news of this year, we found nothing.
Very little, if anything. We found out that it was mostly private, so they didn't put anything up. Most of our news is from us just researching and looking. A lot of my anticipated games are Kickstarters that I know are coming this year. So,
yep, that's about it. And I know I have a few Kickstarters on my end as well. But I'm very curious to see what are anticipated. Do you have any idea what's going to be on mine?
I think one person will be on your list, Stefan Fell, but we'll see.
We'll see. Now, he has probably about 12 games coming out this year. He tends to round out about that many.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, there's one game for January. All right, what am I going to release for February and so forth?
Yeah, exactly. Here's my monthly game. Okay, it'll only be a 3-hour heavy Euro. That's yeah. I'll save that for the big one. So I will tell you some little spoilers. Yes, there is a Stefan Feld game on my list, and then when I come to it, I want you to try and guess which one it is. Okay.
I'll go ahead and let you have a spoiler. There's also a Stefan Feld game on my list, and I will let you try to guess which one it is.
That sounds like a plan. That'll be a game right there.
Yeah.
So. But we also asked our audience the same thing. But before we get to that, Daniel, what have you been playing lately?
Honestly, I haven't really played a lot of board games in the last couple weeks. I've been mainly playing an RPG game on Switch, Bravely Default 2, having a good time with it. But I did get a couple quick games in this week. One of them being, my first one, Dragonwood. Honestly, played a lot. It's just a nice filler game, you know, kill some time while we were waiting for dinner to cook and stuff like that. So we played Dragonwood. I had a good time playing it. It was a nice, chill, relaxing game to play over the weekend. Easily enough to kill some time, as I was mentioning. And I have to say, the dice hate me in my copy because they just were not working at all for me. I didn't miss out like by 1 or 2 points for something I was trying to get. Have like 4 dice, kind of like when we were playing online that one time. The dice were for you on that point. This time it was hitting me, and it's just like I had to start nickeling and diming to start getting some points, and I got thrashed.
That's cool. Yeah, no, Dragonwood is so amazing. I'm glad we got to play that. That was last week, wasn't it? We played it after one of our podcasts.
Yeah, I think so.
Very cool. Yeah, good choice. I played a game with my kids during our trip. Like I said, I was on my trip, so I didn't have much time to play games. But I did play one with my kids quite a lot, and that's like now their new favorite. It's a $10 game at Target right now, and it's called Bluffineer Dice.
Mm.
It's a very simple game. The idea is you have 2 d4s, effectively. They're bone dice, and they're just angled in a way where you roll them and you get 1 of 4 sides. And so you roll both dice. If you get a pair of the same symbol, you'll normally steal something from another player. Like 2 swords, you'll steal 3 coins from a player. 2 ships, you get 3 coins. If you get...
Hey, watch your language.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then if you get 2 treasure chests, then everybody gives you a coin. And then lastly, if you get 2 skull and bones, then you give everybody else a coin. So everybody also has a card, which is every other combination of the dice possibilities. And I think there's like 3 copies of each dice roll. And when you roll the dice, if you get that combination, then everybody else puts a coin back in the box and it's removed from the market. Oh, you start with 10 coins each, by the way. But if you don't roll your combination, every other player gets the chance to say, oh, I have that. And if they say that they have it, I should say, this is where the bluffing comes in. They can claim any if they have any combination. But if they have it, if you believe them, you just give them a coin. Then it's done. If you don't believe them, you call them on it. And if they show you, then they have to show their card. If they do have it, you give them then two coins instead because you didn't believe them. But if they were lying and said that they had it when they didn't, then they pay you a coin instead. When one person runs out of coins, count them up, most coins wins.
So, liar's dice.
No, it's more like, I know what you're thinking. It's more like coup, but a very, very simple, streamlined version of coup. Okay. Now, I played it with a 9 and an 11-year-old, one of which can't lie. He had to cover his whole face in a blanket, and then every once in a while you'll hear muttered out of the blanket,
I have that card.
You know, because you couldn't hear it otherwise. Because he can't bluff at all. And so it's either
you. I know his pain. I can read people bluffing. I can't bluff myself.
I'm not very good at bluffing either, but I did mess with my kids. Like I was just waiting until my daughter says, "Oh, I just trust dad," and then I started lying every card, every dice roll. she revealed, if you will.
Starting on that those trust issues young, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, they've already had that. They know I'm a manipulator when it comes to games, especially games like this, but they love it. So that's Bluffineer, the dice game. I actually really encourage it for families. You probably wouldn't like it that much.
Doesn't sound like something up my street.
Yeah, it doesn't break any new rules or anything, but I think a coup, like a family weight coup, because like coup is already kind of like difficult to get the hang of, you know, because you have to memorize all the cards. You have to play like 5 or 6 times to get the hang of it. This is just really straightforward. Roll dice, do some lying. Good stuff. I recommend it. Bluffineer, the dice game.
Nice. And so the only other game I got played this week was Archaeology, the New Expedition. I'm not going to harp too much on it. We talk about this one a lot. Another one that was just a quick, simple filler game that got played. I really do enjoy busting this one out. Every time I play it, it's so different. This time we played with, I believe it's called The Buried Ruin. And it's what happens with this one is you start with 12 cards out of the deck and you put them to the side. And then you fill 3 chambers, so 1 card in each chamber, every time a sandstorm hits. So you don't even start with treasure in the beginning. So if you got a treasure map somewhere along the lines of drawing up and there's nothing in there, you got to hold it and hope no one steals it as you're playing along. And so as you're going, the sandstorm starts filling it up. But you're seeing what's going into the ruin. So it's like, when do I take my chance of throwing my map out there and get it? Do I want all those pot shards in that one? Or I know there's a pharaoh in that one. Do I want to take it knowing someone might get a thief and try to steal the pharaoh's mask from me? So, again, great game. Have a great time playing this. Never had a problem. That is Archaeology, the New Expedition.
Very cool. Yeah, good choice. I'll quickly go through mine. I do have a few more that I want to talk about real quick. The next one was suggested to me by actually one of the developer or the designer of Bullet. I got a chance to see him this weekend, and he suggested to me a small card game that's a solo card game called Orchard, the 9-card solitaire game. Basically, the idea is that you have grids on these cards that have different combinations of either pears, blueberries, or something else. I don't remember what the fruit are, but it's red, green, and blue, I want to say, or yellow, green, and blue. I don't know. It says it's colorblind friendly. Technically, it is. It's not that, not quite. But essentially, what you're trying to do is you're trying to overlap as many of these as possible. And when you overlap some, you have to overlap at least one, and it has to match the same kind of tree. So on your turn, you place down one of the tree cards, overlapping others. When you overlap a die or a tree, you put a custom die on it. And it starts by being 1 point. The next time it's overlapped, it becomes 3 points, then 6, and then 9 points, or maybe 10. I forget exactly how many, but you can have it up to 10 points by overlapping these symbols, and you're just trying to get the most points by doing the best overlapping as possible. You buy more than one copy, you can play more than one players. But as a small little orchard game, or a small little solo game, I'd seen it before, and I was questioning it. And then I played it while everybody else was falling asleep. And I was like, yeah, I feel like playing a card game. It was legit. It was really fun. Cool. definitely one of those cool little tile games. I'm going to have to suggest to him to play Hokkaido, because I think that's a better version of that same style of game. But instead of grouping them together, you're overlapping, which is something I haven't seen done yet. So that was cool. The other one I wanted to talk about was 5211 from the Next Move games. Yeah, I got the card game, specifically the Azul version of it. And on your turn, you have five cards in your hand. You all play two of them, and everybody looks at what everybody has. Then you draw up, play one more, draw up, play one more, and basically you score. But here's the thing. There's the colors that appear most prominently, like let's say there's more yellow than everything else.
Yeah.
That's what's going to score. So at the end of the turn, whoever has cards of those, all of those score, everything else gets discarded, and then that's it. Unless there is an exact number of the lizards, which are valued at only one. And in this version, it's the roosters. But if you have an exact number, I think it's like there's five of them in a two-player game. If players collectively reveal five of those, you only score the roosters and everything else is discarded. So you can kind of force people to lose points by smartly playing your roosters at that. It's really neat. I like the way it works a lot. I didn't quite get it at first, but then after a few turns, me and the kids were just dropping cards left and right. So it was really cool. And then, that covers everything except for one last one that I'm going to bring up. And I bought it at a national park, which I was completely surprised by this. I went to Bandelier National Monument, and Bandelier is amazing. If you've never been, go do it. It's awesome. 140 feet of ladders. There's one part where you're climbing into a mountain on ladders that are at an angle.
Nope.
It was absolutely terrifying. Me and my son did it. Everybody else stayed down. I don't blame them.
Not going to happen.
I'm still a little nervous. Yeah.
And I can't stand heights.
Big, like, wall of ladders. Oh, yeah. I'll show you the pictures and you get dizzy seeing them. But anyway, we went to that National Monument and they had some good games. There's like Travel, like National Park Trivial Pursuit, Scrabble, National Park Edition. But then they had Trekking the National Parks.
Nice. Which
I don't believe is actually in there, but I was like, okay, representing, good stuff. And then I saw a weird little game called National Parks Get Wild. And it's by The Op. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I saw the picture of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, okay. You know, The Op makes, you know, they make some generic stuff, like from time to time. And this is made for the parks, but it's brand new and only released a year ago. And it was like $20. So I'm like, let's try it. Great components, seven big boards. You have 60 big chunky animal tiles and like 18 custom dice. And essentially it's Speed LCR. Which LCR is a garbage game, honestly. But the fact that you're speed rolling and you're like, okay, I'll pass you two bears, or I'm just going to steal a couple wolves from you, and I'm doing this, and then you're trying to get the first player to get all of just their animal on their type, ends the round, and you score points based on your correct animals. And so it took a really garbage game and actually made it somewhat decent. Once again, I don't think you're going to be like, oh, I'm in the mood for a heavy Euro. Let's play Get Wild. But, you know, if you just want like a quick mix, like a quick like 10, 15 minute game of speed rolling dice and like chucking like animal tokens across parks, pretty fun, actually. So that's the last one I had played that is brand new.
Okay, sounds good. So moving on, getting into our topic here, is our 2021 most anticipated game. On the Board Game Revolution Facebook group, we posted the same question to the audience, and we got some answers.
Okay.
You ready to get started?
What was the question that we asked them?
With Gamma news trickling out, what is your most anticipated game coming out in 2021?
That's right. And I'll start off, speaking of parks, Christopher Parks said, what a segue, right? Said, still waiting on the new edition of Key to the Kingdom from Restoration Games. I completely forgot about this. That might have made my list, actually.
Yeah, no, it sounds interesting. But yeah, I don't know anything about it. I only heard about part of it. So very wrong about game, says Wonderland's War is what he's looking forward to. And Cole, in our topic over here, says, hopefully Eastern Empires, or finally getting Cthulhu War stuff from Kickstarter.
That's right. And Lisa stated, anxiously waiting for Four Gardens. I'm assuming that's a board game.
Yeah, I think so. And Chuck over here says, two words, Frosthaven.
That's right. Jason said Frostpunk, and I lost track, and I didn't back it.
Oh. And finally, we actually have a long one here. Carmelo says, the Ghost of Betwixt should be fulfilling soon. I mean, it has to finish printing and ship across the ocean, but soon. Other than that, I'm anxiously awaiting for more news about the Agents of Smersh Epic Edition that is supposed to be coming to Kickstarter this year. But I suppose that means it isn't actually coming out in 2021, so probably not relevant to the question.
Yeah, it's relevant enough, absolutely, because we don't know if it is. And So Very Wrong About Games in our chat said Wonderland's War, which I haven't heard about.
Neither have I. I already mentioned that.
Huh?
Yeah. I read that.
Yeah. I haven't heard of it. So Very Wrong About Games, tell us why you're excited about that. So, Daniel, you and I spent some time looking through all of the upcoming news, some of the upcoming games, mainly Kickstarters that we're talking about. I'm going to give a couple of quick shout-outs, and this is why they didn't make my list, is because they're remakes of games that are already here that I just wanted, that I am anticipating, but they're not technically new, like Carcassonne the 20th Anniversary Edition.
Ticket to Ride Europe, 10th Anniversary, or 15th, whatever it is.
15th Anniversary for Europe, yep. Castle Panic Deluxe.
Mm.
Yep. And then,
yeah, but see, not sure if that's going to arrive this year. The Kickstarter goes off this year, but we probably won't fulfill until next year.
Probably not. But then I also wanted to say there was another one, and that was Keyforge Adventures. And it's kind of like their cooperative version of the card game. So I don't want to get into spoilers, but should we wait to talk about this or no?
Which one?
Keyforge Adventures.
No, I actually sent you the information about that one. I remember in our group chat. And no, it looks good. I just don't know if it's coming out this year or not. They've announced it, but you never know with these things.
Right.
It's supposed to be a Gen Con release, isn't it?
I think so. But what makes it different is it turns a competitive two-player card game into cooperative or solo mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it when companies do that, which is the big reason I got into Dice Throne Adventures.
I love that. The big thing about this one that people need to understand is that this one is not, you can use some of your older decks, but this one specifically is for Dark Tidings. That's what they're basing it off of from what I read. So it looks intriguing. Before we get going into my one honorable mention that I have that I want to mention, So Very Wrong About Games says Wonderland Wards is from Druid City Games. The production quality is through the roof for a bag builder. So good to know. Is it? I'm assuming it's based off Alice in Wonderland's story. The C.S. Lewis, I think his name is.
Yeah.
No.
It probably is, just because it is Druid City Games, and they're kind of known for, you know, the Grimm fairy tales, Alice in Wonderland, and they do fantastic jobs of that. I was a slow starter to get into their games, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, and so my one anticipated game that did not make the list, just because I don't know if it's coming out in 2021, everything says it is, even the designer of it, and that is mentioned earlier, Frosthaven. It did not make my list because it was supposed to come out around this time. It got pushed back, and the most recent timeline is between October and November. Mind you, it's a massive game. He's got to print 92 to 96,000 copies of this game, so it's all coming in waves. So it's going to start in October, supposedly, and work its way through. So we'll see. I'm expecting probably either late this year or early next year for it to fulfill. So that's why it didn't make my list. You all know how much I love Gloomhaven. That's the only reason why Frosthaven is not my list, because I'm not exactly sure it's going to make it this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good one. That's a very good one, actually. And So Very Wrong About Games says it's going to be a Kickstarter. Cool. Or maybe it is a Kickstarter. I don't know.
Everything's going off right now, so I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's a Kickstarter that's probably fulfilling this year.
Oh, yeah. All right, great. Are you ready to get into this?
There is one more honorable mention that just popped in my head right now. It's a Kickstarter. It's a game that's already out, but this is a mini version of it, and that's Tsukuyomi Full Moon Down. They were having issues getting the American version of the Gray Fox edition with all the minis and stuff like that to America. It just got on the ship. They've been trying since November of last year, if I remember correctly. I'm looking forward to playing it, but it's already out in the wild in most of the world. It just hasn't hit the shores of America yet.
Interesting. I didn't even realize that they made a mini version of that.
Yeah, it was a Gray Fox Kickstarter, I think, in 2019.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, that is absolutely something that I had no idea about. So I'm quite excited about that. Very cool. All right. Shall we do the Coin of Doom?
Let's do the Coin of Doom and get this going.
As always, we have the Coin of Doom here that decides who talks about theirs first. And Daniel, I will begin. My number 8 is by Grail Games. And there was a Kickstarter for it. Both at the same time, they did a Kickstarter for the board game and the card game version of this game by Reiner Knizia. And I've looked into it. You rolled your eyes, I know. And it really, the theme, it's bizarre, but it has Vincent Dutrade art. So automatically it's going to look pretty.
Yeah.
And it's called Whale Riders.
I did see this. This was something I was looking into.
Yeah. And I looked into the game. It actually looks really fun. It's just there was a bunch of Kickstarters all at once on that. And I didn't get to back it. I had to back out of it, unfortunately. And it just looks awesome. So I'm definitely going to be picking it up as soon as it comes out because I've been very excited about this. The reason it's on the bottom of my list is because there's 7 other games I'm more interested in.
Fair enough.
That's my reason. Whale Riders by Reiner Knizia.
So my number 8 game here, the bottom of my list, is not because I don't want to play it or it's not that interesting to me. It's just because I got to play its predecessor before I buy this one just to see if I'm going to continue liking these stories. And that is Now or Never, the newest Ryan Lockett Red Raven game that was announced, I think, late last year or early this year, supposed to come out sometime this year. What's interesting about it is that this one will not be on Kickstarter. He is going to produce outright. And so what's interesting to me about that, it's of course a successor to Above and Below in the Near and Far series. I just recently picked up Near and Far. I do want to try it. I adore Above and Below. There is little minor issues with it at times, but I really do like the game. So I want to try Near and Far before I even think about making that next step and jumping into this, but more than likely I'll end up picking it up. I want to check it out, see what's going on, and that is Now or Never.
Isn't that a candy?
Pretty sure. No, that's Now or Later.
Oh, okay. Now or Never. Got it. My number 7 is technically a new version of a game that I already know I enjoy, but this one does a weird little twist that at first would seem really gimmicky, and it totally is gimmicky, but I'll explain why I'm excited about it, and that's the new Exit games. Specifically, 2 of them include a jigsaw puzzle with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few reasons I'm excited for this. First off, I love the Exit series. They're awesome. They're up there. They always kind of bounce back and forth whether I like them or Unlock better, but they're both very quality ones. But the Exit series from Thames and Cosmos, which they've made puzzles before. They're pretty used to it. It's not like Ravensburger quality, but, you know, they know what they're doing. However, I had just recently been doing jigsaw puzzles from the Magic Puzzle Company. Are you familiar with them?
I've heard of them. I'm not a puzzle guy, so I only heard bits and pieces of these things.
Bits and pieces. Anyway, so, they did a Kickstarter and they have like actual magicians who work with these jigsaw puzzles because there's a whole little cool little gimmick to each one. And me and a friend of ours just finished one of them and then it had a whole new second stage to it where you would do something else. I'm not going to give spoilers because it's a jigsaw puzzle with spoilers. It's amazing. But it was just a good time and we had a lot of fun doing it. And my kids were joining in. They were helping us solve the puzzles. So much that I just bought some glue. Now I got to glue the pieces together, so that'll be fun. And it's awesome. I want to get the other 2 in the series. So now knowing that, I've seen mystery jigsaw puzzles where you have to solve a story, but you can only do so after solving the puzzle. That's nothing new, But combining that with an escape room, I wonder. It makes me genuinely wonder on if they're going to incorporate that into the time that you have to rapidly solve puzzles, or if you need to do that and then solve puzzles with the picture. Will like the edges of the jigsaw mess you up? I don't know. Are you looking for little details? There's a lot of cool ways that could go, but I have hesitations as well. I just like that idea. So that's why it's my number 7 and not higher up on my list.
It's interesting. I mean, I like the exit games, but they're probably not my favorite just because of the destruction aspect of it. I mean, they're inexpensive, but I mean, that really big one, what is it, the catacombs? That one's pretty pricey for something that you're going to end up destroying.
25, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. $25 that you're having a good time from it, but it's going to be destroyed. I know people talk about like legacies and stuff like that, and I just recently heard this mentioned. You don't technically have to destroy a legacy game. You could just put it out of the game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This one, you have to for you to do some of those puzzles, exits.
Right, yeah. Yep, that is correct, unfortunately.
All right, so my number 7 game is technically a 2020 game, but it wasn't in wide release to the States. They're barely coming out with an English version, and a big publisher is bringing it to America, and that is Pandasaurus. So can you guess the game?
No. Is it the new the Dragon Roarin', right?
No. That's
Dinosaur Island.
No, this one is The Loop. I actually heard this through the Dice Tower. It's a co-op card game where you're working on beating a mad scientist, where it has this intriguing mechanism where he's making copies of himself in different time periods to conquer the universe and stuff like that. And so you're trying to do this time loop, time mechanic, going around and trying to beat all the doppelgangers of this mad scientist to win the game. I don't know a lot about it, but from what I've looked and heard about it, it looks really good. And just that little twist with the time, I want to see how it works in the loop. And everybody from on the Dice Tower itself has said it's really good. I've looked into it. I've researched it on Board Game Geek. It doesn't give you a lot of information there, but it looks really good. And the art is actually really, really nice.
Yeah, when browsing through the new games, I saw this real quickly, and I was like, okay, that I saw the cover, and it looked interesting, but I didn't know anything about it, to be honest, so.
Yeah. So I've been hearing about it, and then when I heard out that Pandasaurus is bringing it here to the United States, I'm like, okay, this is something on my, this has to go on my list, because I was like, that looks good, but I'm not going to import it.
Right.
Especially since it was only in French, and you had to get, like, English translations of everything.
And Pandasaurus, you know, I see them as a publisher that has a reputation of bringing innovation. It might not always be the best of games, but mm-hmm. everything they do is just kind of different. Like, I rarely see the same thing. Like, The Mind, and then you talk about bigger stuff like Mind Control.
Or In the Game?
And The Game, yeah. Like, the stuff that they produce, I don't think is, like, anything that's common, which is what makes them so intriguing to me. So
yeah, and that's one of the things why this one is intriguing to me. It looks so different to take a card game and do like this time manipulation where it literally something you do at this point of the thing actually will go around the loop and come back.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so you have to make the continuum. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. My number 6 is one of the very few instances of a board game being based on a video game. I don't even know if it's going to come out in 2021. It might be later. Daniel, do you know what? You probably saw the announcements for it. It was just recently.
The only one that I know of is Stardew Valley.
Mm. Well, Stardew Valley, I think, just came out. I think you're able to order it.
It just came out. That's why I was like, that's the only one I can think of.
This is Skyrim, the board game.
Yes, I did see this. It's supposed to be a minis game.
Yeah. It more than likely, it looks like just a simple battle game. It's going to be on GameFound, so not Kickstarter, but the other crowdsourcing one, but not Indiegogo because nobody. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know any games that come from Indiegogo. But Skyrim
not anymore. It hasn't been in a while.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But yeah, Skyrim. I love the video game. I know nothing about the board game. I just heard about it today, but I'm in 100%. I want it.
No, it looks interesting. It didn't make my list. I like Skyrim, but sometimes those re-implementation of board games into video games. Mm-hmm. I do want to try Stardew Valley. I've heard really good things about that one. But something like Skyrim, where it's like this massive sandbox game where you can do whatever you want, I don't know how you're going to re-implement that into a board game form.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
Speaking of IPs, my number six is an IP from Ravensburger.
An IP from Ravensburger, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. What is it?
Alien, The Fate of Nostromo.
Oh, I haven't heard of this one.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Alien franchise. And I've been actually wanting a good board game representation of the movie or movies in this matter. I like the card game from Legendary, the Legendary Encounters. It's decent. Probably the best Alien game out there that I've played. But this one is coming from Ravensburger. From what I've looked on it, it looks a bit like Horrified, where everybody's taking control of a character and you have to meet certain goals. And when, and there's different modifications into it. So in-game goals, in a sense, and we're all working together. You do your special actions and then a bad thing happens. So a lot like Horrified or Pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then, afterward, bad stuff happens, meaning the alien gets to act and stuff like that. And then there's another difficulty added to it where you can add a new character, or not a new character, but another thing in there to make your actions a lot harder. So you need certain things to build a new equipment. Well, that other character that's helping the alien, in a sense, is throwing that stuff out. So there's difficulty in it. I hope it's really good. I hope it, even if it's just slightly a reskin of Horrified, fine. Just give me something good for Alien, because there's not many out there.
Yeah, there's really not. And from Ravensburger, do you know who the designers are?
I saw the name. I can't remember. I can actually look it up really quick. I think it's like Ben something.
Okay.
Oh, wrong.
Well, while you're
wrong, gonna... search bar.
I'll jump into my next one. My number five, we got to interview the publisher, or the main guy who's publishing it. It was a Kickstarter last year. I couldn't back the Kickstarter, but I late backed it. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Well, it just depends which one. Is it Smirk and Dagger or is it AEG?
Smirk and Dagger.
Nightcage.
Nightcage, yes, that's right. Nightcage just looks awesome. I mean, it's a very simple idea. It doesn't look like it's revolutionary in any way, but it looks like what it does is very simple, but it brings out a really cool premise of, like, you have to delve into this night cage. You have to figure out where everything is. I love the candle thing where only the tiles adjacent to you are visible, and you can only see one tile away. I've seen that before, but this seems like it implements it really well. And that's Night Cage by Smirk and Dagger Games. Should be coming out this time. I did gorge myself and kind of get the fancy add-on tiles, but you know, why not, right?
Why not? So the designer of Alien: Fate of Nostromo is Scott Rogers.
Scott Rogers, yep, Ben. Yeah, I remember him.
Hey, I thought it said something Ben, but I was looking around. I looked it up the other day, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm in on this. And Ravensburger, they've been producing some decent games, so we'll see.
Well, maybe you read the sentence. It's been a long time since a good.
Yeah, it's something in there, but yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Scott Rogers is actually the designer.
Great, Scott. All right.
So this next game, I actually know who the designer is, my number five.
Mm.
Ooh, and this is a new game from actually a designer I really, really enjoy who left Fantasy Flight. That's Corey Konietzka. With his new company, this game is called The Initiative. Now, researching this and looking this up, I really need to get this game. It's a cooperative game that is a campaign-like puzzle that has code breaking in it. You're basically taking the role of teenagers in the year around 1994 who find this board game called The Key. And so it's broken up in chapters. At the beginning of each chapter, you have to read a comic book to tell the story further on. And again, it's a lot of puzzles and stuff like that. But here's the thing that intrigues me about this game. It's a campaign style game, as I'm mentioning. And it keeps moving on, whether you fail or pass. You just move to the next chapter, whether you succeed or fail. If you succeed, you might get a reward for the next chapter. But if you fail, Who knows what's going to happen? And I find that very intriguing. And so I am actually looking forward to checking this one out. And the box cover is amazing looking. So that's the initiative.
The initiative. Okay. I wonder if you roll for initiative in that game. Going into the top half. Now, this game, I haven't checked to see if it's confirmed if it's coming out, or even if it came out already. I should double check that now that I'm talking about it. I don't believe it was, but this was announced at last year's Gamma, and I haven't heard about it coming out yet, or if it has. So let me double check that real quick. This will only take a moment, because I really hope. Okay, Board Game Geek is not finding it at the moment. Uh-oh, that's a bad sign. Okay, maybe it's a different name. But it was from Breaking Games, and it's called Meeple Mountain. It's a theme park-themed game where you are rolling meeples into a giant meeple dice tower into a water park. Now, they announced this last year at last year's Gamma, right before the lockdowns. So I don't know if it's actually going to come out. I'm going to have to look into it. But just know that I've been anxiously waiting this past entire year, and I will continue to do so until I have a giant Meeple Dice Tower in my grasp. Meeple Mountain.
Nice. So we're going into my top of the list, my top four. These are games that I am going to own because I'm waiting for them either because they're Kickstarter or that I have them pre-ordered. So my number four is actually my Stefan Feld game.
Ooh. Okay, so now's my chance to guess it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I specifically picked one of the mini games that are coming out this year of his.
I'm going to guess, I mean, I know it's the one that's Bruges, right?
You are correct.
Yeah, I just don't remember if that's Amsterdam or what.
This one is called Hamburg. There's three Feld games that we're talking about that are coming out this year that I am getting. That's Hamburg, Amsterdam, which is the Macau reprint, and his new one, Copapelli, that also is supposed to come out this year. But the one I'm specifically putting here is Hamburg, because Bruges is the one game that I've heard so much about, that everybody talks about, that I want to play, and this is it. It's coming out with streamlined rules, so it looks pretty good. As I put here in my show notes, this is my Grail Feld game. This is the one I've been wanting to get, but I didn't want to pay the outrageous prices on the resale market, and I'm finally getting it to the table, hopefully this summer. Hopefully it comes by this summer. And the art on it, it's a queen game, so it's not like over the top really beautiful art. It's nice looking. It's your stereotypical Euro style art. If you look at Merlin or any other queen game, it's okay. It's not like Vincent Jutre art or anything for that matter,
right?
But it still looks good. The streamline rules have me intrigued. This is Hamburg.
Very cool. Yeah, good choice. Yeah, so when I get to it, I'll let you guess that, of course. But my number three is a game that I never thought I'd put on my list. I'm a little biased against it, just because I know how big of a fan you are. It's an expansion to a game. It is an expansion to a game that I prefer Funkoverse over.
Oh!
It is Unmatched.
So, I know which one it is. It's the one that's coming out with the Houdini character.
Yes. Yes. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, darn it. Now I have to get into this game. Or I'm just hoping Funkoverse will also do Houdini, because then that would be.
I like the concept of that one exactly, because these are fan created.
Yes.
Characters.
Yeah, exactly. Like it has every right to be part of it, except I've never considered Houdini a character. I mean, he was right. I mean, it's like it's not even his name, right?
I do like the fact that it's coming out with the genie of the lamp. Houdini versus the genie of the lamp.
Yeah, yeah. That's incredible. And out of all of like the classic tales, the genie is one of my favorite characters. Him up against Merlin, like that would be a good matchup too. The genie, Merlin, him, and then whichever other magician we end up putting.
Here's a good matchup for you. Sherlock versus Houdini.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I would do that. Absolutely. I would just sit there just because that's fun. So yeah, that's my number three, and that's Unmatched Houdini.
So Unmatched didn't make my list because they're all like standalone expansions and stuff like that. But there is a lot of stuff that I'm really excited for Unmatched. They got the Marvel stuff coming out this year. They got the two mini packs, Houdini versus the Genie of the Lamp, and I believe Shakespeare, and I can't remember what the fourth one is.
Okay.
And they just secretly announced that they're doing Battles of the Legends Volume 2. So it's like, how much stuff? And we're supposed to be getting another pack of Jurassic Park as well. It's just, there is a lot coming out for Unmatched. So there's something for everybody, basically.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, it's still not as much as Funkoverse is bringing out with, but I mean, man, Houdini, that's a top-notch thing. That is one that I'm willing to get. Absolutely.
All right. So my number three game is my Stonemaier pick for the year, honestly. And it's not an expansion. It's actually a new game coming out. You've seen me talking about it. I should be getting it within the next month or so. It should be like mid to late April. And that is Red Rising.
Yep.
It's already arriving in Europe and Australia. So this is kind of a cheaty pick in a sense because it's already in some people's, but it's not here yet. And I don't have it and I want to play it. What's interesting about this, it's based off a book series called Red Rising. And the first trilogy, there's actually two trilogies in this series. And it's based off the first three books of that series. But the thing about it is, you don't have to know the books to enjoy the game. It just enhances the gameplay if you know what's going on. Kind of like if you've played The Reckoners but never read the books. It's there. There's very little spoilers, but it's nothing major. Same thing with Red Rising. And the thing, what I like about this is supposed to be one of the more quicker games of his, because it plays, if you like Fantasy Realms, you might like this game, because where it's card play off each other to either gain points or playing cards to do certain actions, there's a lot going on, a lot like Fantasy Realms. So for me, this is one of the games I'm looking forward to, and that is Red Rising.
Very cool. All right. My next one is kind of a cheat. At first, I put on here a game called Platypus, which at first sounds dumb, right? And I'll tell you what the description is, and you're going to think, I know what you're going to think, but I'm curious to see what you think about this. I'm going to read you the description of Platypus, and you tell me if it's a game that you would like to play. Okay?
Okay.
Ready? Okay.
Sure.
Platypus says, acid, dangerous, annoying, a car saleswoman, edible, quick, flexible, Captain America, or an ostrich. Right? Doesn't make sense yet. In Platypus, players cooperate to gradually eliminate bad words in order to find and identify the correct platypus through their adjective cards. To set up 8 common words or proper names, the platypus cards are placed face up in front of all the players. The guide knows the cards, and the explorers must guess. And to help the explorers, they give clues in the form of adjective cards that best describe the platypus for them. Each guide has a hand of 4 clue cards, and after each new clue, the explorers must eliminate 1 or 2 cards that they think do not match what's being defined by the clues. If the explorer eliminates the platypus, then everyone loses. If they succeed 4 times, however, then the platypus will stand alone and everyone wins. What are your thoughts on that?
Sounds fine.
Sounds fine, right? Like at best. Yeah. Okay. 3 words tell you why I think this is going to be awesome. Bill Walker Harding.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah. Because honestly, that doesn't sound that good.
it sounds fine.
But then, so upon looking into that, and I was looking at that, I found another game that is just stated on here called Machination, that was also Phil Walker Harding. But then I found 2 others, one by Lookout Games and one by Ravensburger. Lookout Games is a game called Llama Land, which looking at it, it looks kind of like Gingerbread House, except no board. You're kind of stacking the domino tiles on them and stacking llamas on top of those. It's on their like family line.
What is it with llamas for some reason?
Jeez. I don't know. But this one is the one that caught my eye. And this is really the one that, as of, you know, an hour before we started filming or right before it, it's this. It says, at the beginning of Explorers, which is the name of the game by Ravensburger, you and each other explorer place four landscape tiles, grassland, bodies of water, deserts, or mountains, and three different scoring tiles in your game frame. Then, from your starting village, you go on an exploratory tour. The exploration cards give which, show which two landscapes, indicate which landscape you're allowed to cross off. On your turn, you reveal an exploration card, choose one of the two types of terrain, then cross off to three spaces ahead of your current location. Your fellow players must then decide whether to place only two crosses of the same landscape or choose one other and tick off three crosses. All of your crosses must be orthogonally adjacent, so you need to plan well to avoid being stuck due to bad landscape choices. All of these are Phil Walker Harding games. And this one sounds like it's a roll and write, actually. I might be wrong. Yeah, it's a roll and write, or flip and write specifically, where you're going amongst these landscapes.
Sounds pretty cool. It's Phil Walker Harding, so you know I'm going to try it. He's such an amazing designer. So,
Yep, absolutely. So this is my number two. I know it's kind of a cheat because it's just anything Phil Walker Harding, but especially this, because that theme just sounds amazing.
Don't worry, I got a cheat later on, so we'll see.
All right, sounds good. Well, you only have two left, so
so this is not it. This is my number two pick, and. Hey, we were just talking about restoration games with Unmatched. This is the bigger one that's supposed to come out around June-ish this year. So we'll see what happens. Can you guess which one this one is?
Jurassic Park?
No.
Then I haven't been following Unmatched enough.
It's not Unmatched. It's just restoration games.
Oh, restoration game. Oh, the Dark Tower?
Return to the Dark Tower. I'm always a sucker for restoration games. Most of them have been really, really good for me. The only one I really didn't like was the Volcar one, the island, whatever it's called. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah.
Fireball Island.
Fireball Island. Here's what's got me into it and why I had to back this one and get the game. Rob Davio, Isaac Childress.
Yep.
Working together to redesign a classic board game. Right there, I'm like, I'm in. Regardless, I'm in. You got two of my favorite designers working together on a game. Yeah, it's jumping onto the top of my list that I can't wait to play. There's a lot of interesting design choices, such as there's different modes you can play, mainly either co-op or the versus. So either you're working together to beat the tower or you're trying to be the better warrior or whatever to win. Not to mention that the actual tower itself is electronically controlled through app integration. So we've talked about it in our past podcast before about gaming atmosphere. This right here will help you create that atmosphere with the dark the tower itself, making choices going on. So yeah, I can't wait to try this one out. I'm hoping it does come out relatively soon. Like they're saying, production is getting ready to start, not just yet. So I'm assuming it's going to be more quarter four than quarter three, so we'll see what happens, but I'm hoping it comes out this year.
Yeah, me too. I think that'd be great. I want to buy a copy of it, because I actually own the original Dark Tower, and I love the idea. I just could never get the device to work.
So, and then with the app integration should help a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, because who isn't used to doing this all day, you know?
Yeah.
As I have my phone upside down. All right. Daniel, you ready for this one? My number one, you named the designer already, Stefan Feld. Which Stefan Feld do you think it is?
See, this is tough.
I'm going to give you one shot. One shot, and that's it.
Like I said, there's three coming out. Two are part of the City Collection. I know you're both excited for both of those as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take a stab in the dark and take a risk and say Cocopelli.
You got it. Absolutely. Because we live in New Mexico, man. This is where it's at. And I am a huge fan of this whole country, but I love this state. I just came back from a trip where literally the whole thing, we didn't want to go around people, you know, because that's not safe. But now that everything's opening up a little bit, you know what we ended up doing?
we went national parks.
National parks, yeah. We went and saw all of those neat things that we didn't get a chance to see. The first day we hiked in the Petroglyphs National Monument. The second day we didn't do anything really specific, but the third day we went to Bandelier. The fourth day we saw El Mel Pais, and we went to go see Sky City, which unfortunately was closed still. But then we went and saw the ice caves and the Bandera volcano and all of these amazing things rich with culture. And I gladly would have gone to the Aztec ruins and all of the other, the Jemez Springs and all of those other things if I had more time. But I mean, oh my God, I love the rich history. There's not enough Native American themed games. There's been a few that I've played, but there's not enough that have a rich culture. And Queen Games and Stefan Feld really went out of their way saying that Stefan Feld was inspired by Native American culture. Like, he came to the Southwest. I wish I would have known that. I would have tracked him down and said hello. But he actually came and did that. You know, I think that would have been absolutely awesome. But the thing is, when he puts together a Native American theme, which is something I absolutely love, with him designing it, there's no way this couldn't have been my number one. Like, sure.
I don't blame you. I'm looking forward to this one as well. I just think, for me, the reason why it didn't make my list is, from what I've seen the playthroughs, it's a very simple game. It's a very simple card game. And so that's why I prefer like the heavier film games.
Yep.
But yeah, I think this one's, I agree. It would have made my list if I hadn't already put Hamburg on it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or if Hamburg wasn't coming out.
But yeah.
Cocopelli, though. Oh my goodness. I can't wait. Every time I see a Cocopelli around any kind of like traditional art or decoration or anywhere, there's one in my block. There's somebody who has it decorated in their front yard. You know, every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I want that game.
Well, the thing about it is, it's not just Cocopellis, but our state flag is actually a Native American symbol. The the Pueblo Indians, the Zia symbol.
Yep, exactly. Something that a lot of people don't know. So, oh my goodness. I hope this gets people, gamers that wouldn't come down to the Southwest, I hope they come down to the Southwest.
Yeah, we live in a really, really beautiful state. Not a lot of people think about that, but if you go north, you have all those, the petroglyphs, the wall. I can't think of the pueblos, the actual pueblos.
Yep.
You have all that up there. You have the...
Yeah,
and then you come... Well, then you got skiing up there. There's really nice terrain up there, so there's a lot of good hiking trails. You go a little more to like the eastern side, you got the red mountains, the red cliffs and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then you come south, we got White Sands down here. We have Carlsbad, one of the best cavern systems. And then also you got the Gila cliff dwellings not too far from us. And actually, one of my favorite places, I don't know if you've been there, is the Valley of Fires, where it's an old volcanic bed and you can see all the old lava flows and stuff like that. I haven't been there in a while, but I really, really like that place.
Is that the one that's out by Tucumcari, I think?
Carrizozo. It's the one, like, you just go north of Ruidoso and then go through Carrizozo, and it's, like, to the west of Carrizozo.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have not done that yet.
You guys should check it out if you got a chance. Oh, not to mention all the ghost towns out here that you can go visit.
Sure. And Billy the Kid, his history, you know, International Forest, all of the forts, you know, that we had out here.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We could go on. We're not going to come to the Southwest when travel is okay. Come visit us. Like, I'll show you around personally, you know. You know, I love this place and I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. There's a lot of good history out here.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my number one. Daniel, you're our last one. Let's hear it.
All right. My number one is my cheaty pick, because I couldn't decide between the games that are coming up. This is basically Thunderworks game stuff here.
Okay. Hold on. I think I know it. Oh, is this the role player one?
Yes. But there's also another one that I want to mention quickly that also I'm really intrigued by, and that's Cape May. It's the Lighthouse New Jersey game that's coming out that we looked up when we did Thunderworks with Keith Mateka. Looks good. Comes out this year. But the two that I put on here are Role Player Adventures and Cartographer Heroes. Cartographer Heroes, a standalone expansion to Cartographers with all the other map packs. I've talked about how much I really want to get this. Cartographers itself was my probably one of my most played games in 2020. Role Player Adventure, though, this is the one that really kind of went on my list. And I should be getting both of these together. That's the best part about it, is that you take one of my favorite games, Role Player, where you're creating characters and then you can turn them into an actual role playing game in a sense. With adventures, and it's still dice. It's still a lot of dice that you're having to deal with and placement and stuff like that going into it. Looking forward to getting this to the table. Supposed to get this around June, July as well. So I got a lot of stuff coming this summer, hopefully. Again, adventures allows you to take a character you've made and role player itself, and that's with or without the expansions. You could do it where if you fought the monster and got your resources and all that. And it's just an unbelievable idea what he's doing. I hope it's successful. I'm looking forward to it. It looks good. I've heard good things about it. And then Kataka Fork Heroes just adds a lot more with the map packs and the colored pencils all coming in the expanded edition. So yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to these games.
Yeah, that I don't blame you. What's interesting about the Heroes version of Cartographers? Like, what does it do differently?
Oh, so the Heroes themselves is they allow you to fight the monsters that are coming in. Because you know how, like, the monsters, you have to close out those spaces where you get negative points. The Heroes allow you to do certain things to fill spaces around the monsters or actually eliminate monster spaces.
Okay. I thought it was, like, you create a map and then you roleplay in it.
No, it's not Role Player Adventures. But what's interesting about that, too.
Can you imagine that, though? You create the characters, and then you generate the map with cartographers, and then you just play a whole bunch of game nights, and then you suddenly have an RPG group.
And so, the thing about Cartographer Heroes, I'm looking forward to Heroes itself, but I'm looking forward to the new expansion packs, because there's some different stuff that's going on. One of them has volcanoes in it, so like there could be a time where a disaster happens, a volcano takes out spaces. Another one is where you're like in a dwarven city, so kind of like Caverna, you have to build off already existing areas. So if I have a forest, I have to build off said forest to build my houses and stuff like that. So you have to build off stuff you already put out there. So I like the interesting designs with the new map packs, not alone with Heroes and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. I'm really looking forward to this. Just give me more of good stuff. And then Lockup is getting an expansion this year. Thunderworks' little world is just expanding left and right.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I can see why that's a cheat for you, but those are some of the games that hopefully that if you hadn't heard about until now, which I hadn't heard about some of yours, I'm genuinely excited about half of them.
Yeah, so am I. I agree with you with your number one pick. I'm looking forward to Cocopelli. I'm intrigued by that alien Fated Nostromo that I saw, and I'm like, Ravensburger, action selection, co-op. God, I hope it's good.
Me too. I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, it's an IP game. It's got to be fine, right?
Honestly, I haven't hated a lot of the IP games that Ravensburger's come out with. The only one I could think of is Jaws and Horrified, but...
Well, they also did like the Back to the Future one. They did...
They didn't do the Back in Time. I haven't tried the other one.
Yeah, they did the one with the tracks. Yeah.
The tracks, yeah. So I haven't tried that one. I heard it's okay, but I really like Back in Time. So.
Yeah. I've seen gameplay footage of it, I think Back in Time, I don't know if I would like it more than the other one. I would like to try the other one, though, first to judge it. But I think I might like the other one better because of how the time tracks work. I don't know. I digest. That has been a fun episode. I've enjoyed this, researching into it especially. I just wish there was more news from Gamma. But
yeah, I am shocked that nothing really came out of it, like no announcements and stuff like that. But then again, because with everything that's going on, they may be waiting to do their announcements in the summer.
Yeah.
Especially maybe. Like right before Gen Con is supposed to start up.
Yeah, I definitely believe it. So I'll tell you what, Daniel, if we're still doing our podcast next year and we have the means to do so, let's go to Gamma and let's do a live report.
I'm down if I can, yeah.
Yeah, you're in? All right, let's do that. We've decided. Right here and right now, you've heard it first. We're going to go to Gamma next year if it makes sense and feasibly and we can afford it and, yeah, whatever other factors there happen to be. We'll see. We want to thank all you right. all again. This has been a great episode. If you ever want to join us live, like our friend So Very Wrong About Games, or anybody else who joins us on twitch.tv, you can. That's twitch.tv/everydayboardgames.
As well as you can find all video re-uploads on YouTube at Everyday Board Games 2020. And if you like what you find, please give us a like and a subscribe and comment down below what your most anticipated games are for 2021. As well as the audio versions can be found on most podcast platforms under Everyday Board Games Podcast, including Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, and Podbean.
If you ever want to say hi to us or have interesting ideas for future podcast episodes or discussion topics, email us at everydayboardgames2020@gmail.com.
You can also get in contact with us on our official Twitter account at EBGPodcast.
And so we want to thank you so much for tuning in. As always, I've been Daniel.
And I've been Daniel.
And thank you for listening to Everyday Board Games.
Have a good one.